You got a lovely head of hair.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin! You're listening to episode 91 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Mo Dick, also known in Wales as his actual name, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And even though we're still in dark times, this next hour will cover you with a bonfire of emotions. As if... this is love.
Jesus Christ. I was just about to say, I'm going to put you on a bonfire now. And then you kept going, yo, don't do that again. Stick to one song or two at tops, right? I don't want an album's worth of band songs before we start the podcast.
Were they song titles? So I was just general sentences. That was, I don't know what. Whatever do you mean, Sean? Ha ha ha.
You're lying, Mog. You're lying. Anyway, we've got the fantastic Ryan Potter from The Hunna. What a great chat. Lovely, lovely lad. First time meeting. So pretty much sure we're best friends now. And yeah, it was lovely to speak to him.
Yeah, and I have to say, not only do this band have such an interesting story, but they are literally breaking down boundaries. Ever since The Hunna first came onto the scene in 2015, they've brought a unique blend of alternative rock to the table and quickly became a headlining act in the UK after like countless major support slots, playing festivals like Reading and Leeds and everything. But they've always been labelled as this indie band. But now they have a brand new third studio record come out on October 2nd called I'd Rather Die Than Let You In. And it is a stonker of heavy riffs, anthems and everything in between. The single so far, Sean and I have loved, and we thought we had to get him on to talk all about it.
Yeah, he talks about the change in sound and some of the people they've worked with. Reel them off, Morg, reel them off.
It's going to blow your mind. So not only is this album is produced by John Feldman, which listeners to this podcast will know has crazy stories of every band he's worked with, but there's features on this record from the likes of Travis Barker of Blink-182.
Have you heard of him?
Members of 21 Pilots.
Oh, how many of them?
One.
So 10 and a half Pilots, carry on.
Yeah. Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy.
Oh, I know him. I think I've seen his winky on the internet.
Oh, wow. And Ryan also tells us about a secret writing session he might be doing very, very soon. So keep
that's
your
bigger
ears
than
peeled
everything.
For that.
That is bigger than everything. When he told me he'd been doing that, I was like, awesome for you, awesome. But also, ask me, I'll do it as well, please. But yeah, thanks so much to Ryan and everybody in The Hunna for letting Ryan come on the podcast. We had a really, really great time. I don't think he was expecting the podcast to be like it was. I think he was expecting straight up questions and a boring time. But I think we had a great, great time. So yeah, make sure you listen to every second of this upcoming chat.
Yeah, I'd say it's quite interesting when we do meet people for the first time through this podcast because they don't know what to expect. And then you and I rock up and they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Who are these sick, grotesquely ugly freaks?
That as well. But yeah, we're going to be talking a whole host of stuff from their evolution and journey, record label struggles, because they've gone through a bit of them, backstage politics, very personal thoughts, and so much other crazy shit. It's a great episode. Thanks again for Ryan for taking out time. He's recorded this when they were actually at a recording studio doing a little bit of extra surprises for this record as well. So there might be one or two weird noises in the background, but let's make a game of it. Write down what weird noises you think you hear in this podcast, and then let us know at SapninPod on the Twitter and Instagram pages.
I was just going to write down Morgan Richards' voice then and just hold it up to the... This is what I heard! This fucking weirdo! Yeah, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at SapninPod, SapninPod. That's SapninPod. Let us know your thoughts, your comments, future guests, how much you hate us, how much you despise my new band called Raiders, how much you hate my old band called The Blackout, how much you love Morgan's writing on wrestling in the mirror. You know, let us know at SapninPod, at SapninPod.
And then if you want to go to the next level of internet bullying with us, or singing our praises, or just, I don't know, making memes, for example, another place you could check out is patreon.com/sapnin. And with that, you help create this podcast get bigger and better each and every week.
Yes, thank you very much to everybody that is currently a Patreon. It absolutely means the world to us. You are absolute heroes, and your support for each other is absolutely mind-blowing and heart-melting. So thank you very much. If you've listened to this podcast or any of the other episodes and have enjoyed it, please think about supporting us in some way. So we will have merch soon. We say this all the time. Wheels are in motion. Printed wheels are in motion. But to be in with a chance of being the first people to pre-order that, join our Patreon for as little as, I don't know, as little as anything at all, innit?
Yeah, like a cup of coffee, I hear, sometimes.
Yeah, and you don't even drink coffee, so no. I love the coffee. Cheers, thanks.
Yeah.
So yeah, technically, everybody who's joined the Patreon now, right, who's technically giving us a cup of coffee,
yeah.
Well, you don't like coffee, so...
I'll have a hot chocolate, though, and sometimes that's cheaper than...
That's cheaper than coffee sometimes. But we have been saying coffee, though, haven't we? So I don't want to... Because if we say... our chocolate, we've been spending on our chocolate now, right?
Yeah.
Some of the Patreons could probably sue us for false advertising because we've mentioned coffee so much. And because you don't like coffee...
No, it's true, yeah.
You should probably send me the money.
Anyway, this is Ryan Potter from The Hunter. Check this out. It's a great laugh.
Tidy. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We'll be right back.
Sapnin'. Yes! Yes, we are joined at this time by Ryan from The Hannah. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm actually good, yeah. In all the shitstorm that's happening, I actually feel a little bit more normal being able to be at the studio and be able to actually create music with the guys. So, yeah, feeling better.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time, man. I know it's been so busy lately with new music and everything. You're at the studio at the moment. What's going on? What's the vibes down there?
Yeah, it's good. We're back at Livingston Studio in London. Not sure if you've ever been, but we did our second album, Dare, here. And then we obviously done the third album now. But there was a song on it we had a demo for. And we left it off the album. And then, yeah, we're kind of here to create it and make it into a full piece for the future. So yeah, it's exciting.
Nice. Will that go, are you planning on releasing that like as a single on its own then, or a B-side, or?
I think it's gonna definitely be separate to the album, I think. I mean, we've got other songs that we've kept as a little after album treat. So yeah, I think it might go on there, or it might be a standalone single, but yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, it seems The Hannah have just been so busy in this weird lockdown period as it is, working on new music, things behind the scene for the upcoming third record now. What's it been like for you so far? Has it been a strange time, even though you've been creative, that there's kind of been restrictions with stuff as well?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Like, obviously, it's the same situation for everyone. And I think everyone kind of feels, you know, we've been making music at home and, you know, doing things on socials with our fans and stuff to keep busy and keep the fans, you know, happy and stuff. But it's definitely harder. You know, we should be on tour right now. We had the biggest touring year that we've had as a band scheduled for this year. So all of a year's plans just out the window, especially with the third album coming out, was definitely not great news. But it's also given us time to work on other songs that maybe we'd left for a little bit longer and come up with new inspiration for future stuff and kind of just, I guess, get better as musicians. And I think we're just trying to keep busy that way and try and make positives out of things. But it's definitely been up and down. Like, there's definitely been days where, because there's no end in sight, really. It's kind of, when the hell are we going to be able to get back out there and what we all want to do? Because we're releasing songs and stuff and it's been going great. But when you're releasing songs and you're on the road and you're playing shows and you're face to face with fans and you can feel the excitement more firsthand, when you're in this situation, it's kind of hard to gauge what's actually happening, how people are really feeling. So it's definitely a strange time, but yeah, just got to keep positive and hope for the best, I guess.
have you had any scheduling problems with the record through this? Like, has it been pushed back at all, or are you just raring for it to come out now?
We did. It was going to come out in May, and then obviously that didn't happen. So we pushed it back to later in the year, which is 2nd of October, that is coming out now. And we pushed it back at that point because we thought, let's push it back a bit, and maybe by then we'll be able to be with our fans a bit more and it'll be better that way. Because it sucks to spend so much time on an album, create it, and then not be able to be out there and share it with your fans and talk to them about it. And so we wanted to wait a bit. So yeah, we're still going through ideas and ways to kind of, if we can't do in-store shows and meet fans, other ways to do it. But yeah, it'll be October 2nd now. But we're super excited for it to come out. All the singles have been great.
They have.
Thank you. Yeah, the next single that's coming out just before the album is one of the biggies that we've been saving for a while. So exciting times.
Very, very exciting times. Yeah. No, it's good to see. I'm glad you've kept busy, because I know a lot of people would be like, well, myself now, like, I've got a new band now and we're kind of sitting on four songs that we've had for a while that we've just had back that are mastered, and we're like rushing to put them out. But then also I'm kind of stuck. Like, I'm busting for people to hear it. Like, fucking hear it is. But also I'm like, but yeah, once it's out, I want to play. Yeah. My thing is playing live. I just want to play live more than anything in the world. Like, that's my crack. playing live.
100%. That's my crack as well, for sure.
Nice. Yes, we're brothers in crack. Nobody was expecting this.
But with this new record as well, I mean, there seems to be a complete new attitude with the band, with the kind of sound and some of the visuals and everything behind the scenes going on. You've had this album in the work for so long now. Does it feel almost like a new chapter in the band in many ways? Not just another album cycle, but able to express yourselves in a completely new aspect than before?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what's so exciting for us, is that it really does feel like a kind of coming of age moment, an album for us. And, you know, on the first two records, we were new to it and things kind of happened very quick. So we were getting used to everything and we were loving it. We loved what we made. But there was also, we had so many issues with our ex-label that we're no longer with, because we found out lots of dark shit. So we had to get out of that because it was toxic. And then, so to go in those situations when we were recording, we'd want to maybe try stuff or work with electronic instrumentation and stuff. But they kind of had their idea that we were this straight up indie rock band. Whereas we have so many different influences, that was holding us back a bit. And now that we've removed ourselves from that for the first time, we're kind of allowed to kind of do what we want and experiment with whatever we want. Features, you know, other people singing with me, especially on this album, we've got Femme, who's amazing. And I've wanted to have a female vocalist sing with me for so long, and it's just kind of always been pushed and to the side. So for this one, definitely feels like we're letting out a lot of anger and kind of revenge from that situation. And I feel like, you know, because of everything and we've grown as people naturally, we've learned a lot, and our views are just different to what they were 2 or 3 years ago when we started. So for us, it's the best work that we've produced, we feel, and we're just really happy with the new sound and excited for the new era.
Yeah, because one of the things I wanted to talk about, you mentioned indie rock there. I think since Ahana first came out on the scene in 2015, there's always been that weird conception of people just randomly labeling you indie rock, even though you have all these kind of heavier and different elements throughout your back catalogue. I mean, how do you really identify the band? You've toured with so many different acts, you've played different festivals. I mean, there seems that there's a loads of different inspirations going on in everything.
Yeah, there is. And I think, like you said, even on the previous albums, you know, on Dare, the title track Dare is definitely not indie rock. I would say it's a lot heavier than Bonfire and She's Casual and all those songs. You Don't Want It With Me as well. But then we have songs like Babe Can I Call, which is a totally different vibe entirely. And I mean, it is kind of difficult as well, because we've always said, because of all those different aspects and influences, again, like Sycamore Tree compared to You Don't Want It With Me is two different complete atmospheres. So we always have liked to call it turn up rock, because we love hip hop and stuff as well. And that kind of culture, and we're influenced by that so much, which is heavily featured on the new album. And anyone that comes to our shows always leaves and says that, you know, it's like one of the most energetic things they've ever seen. And we just, you know, like you said, Sean, for us, we're happiest when we're on stage and when we're on tour. That's why we do it. That's what we love doing. Like, it's amazing being in the studio and hearing what you had in your head come to light and even get better. But playing those physically on stage and just being in that atmosphere is, you can't beat that. So I would say, yeah, turn up rock, just super energetic and eclectic, I'd say.
Yeah, what would you say are, like, some of your influences have been since, well, from starting the band to now? How do you think your influences have changed then?
I mean, from the beginning, like for me, even from an early age, vocally, I loved a lot of soul music. So I was like really obsessed with Ray Charles when I was like 14, 15, Aretha Franklin. And then, you know, people like The Weeknd and stuff vocally for me is what I listened to a lot more. But then obviously as well, like bands like Kings of Leon, especially when we first started, were a huge influence on us. So it's all, I mean, it's just everything. Our drummer Jack is quite a big metal head. Like, you know, he we all love it, but he's into like Deftones a lot and Slipknot and all those kind of things. So it's kind of been a mixture all the way from the beginning. But I would say that I think the only thing that's changed, which is exciting for us, is that we can now use synths and electronic instrumentation, which has opened up a whole new kind of thing for us. And it kind of, doing the third album, has shown us, you know, where the next step is and what we can now produce and what we can be from trying all these new things. And it's just such an exciting time, because even where with some of the songs on the album, we're like, wow, this sounds even better than what I had imagined in my head. So
But do you think the Hunna have always had that kind of strange struggle in not finding yourself, but being able to kind of promote that and let listeners know how much what actual band you've wanted to be? Because, like, as I said, you've toured with so many different bands in the past. You've got a fan base of a really mixed collection of backgrounds and music they're into. Has it just been kind of weird trying to portray yourselves in the spotlight you've always wanted to be portrayed in?
I think what it is when we were with our ex-label or manager, some of the things that people were seeing online, like the marketing for us, there were things like, you know, if you like Justin Bieber, you'll love the Hunna. And I think there was even ones like Ariana Grande and stuff like that. So, like, you know, and we used to see them and we used to be like, dude, what the fuck is this? Like, that's, you know, that's not. Not that we don't like Justin Bieber or appreciate his music, you know, but that's, we're a band and we're a rock band predominantly. And that's not, you know, it's just kind of false claims, really. It's just weird. That's not how we want people to perceive us straight away. And I think because it was so aggressive as well, people just kind of saw that and immediately kind of made up their mind, like, so, you know, they just don't really get it. Like, are we a pop band that have been put together? A lot of people used to think that we've been put together, but we've all grown up together. We live 10 minutes away from each other. And, you know, so there's been those kind of things. But on top of that as well, he used to, like, on social media, videos or stuff like that, or visual stuff, they'd like send something and we'd be like, oh no, we want to change this, or, you know, we don't want that, we want something else. And then the next day we'd wake up and it would just be out. It'd be posted. And it's like, it just got ridiculous. So I think because of those things, now what we're doing is kind of, we're doing it now and we're allowed to do that. So we're showing people, I think, more of what we're actually about. And I think it's slowly happening and people are starting to get it more. But I think all that shit before has kind of, I guess, confused people a bit, and they're not really sure where we fit. But I mean, we know where we fit and we know where we want to go. This album will show that. And we're pretty confident that, you know, when we get back touring and play these songs and then create more of the new Hunna era, that it'll be cleared up for people.
Nice.
Was it a struggle getting off that label? Or did you just come to the end of the contract?
No, it was everything movie-like. It was... Like, again, it's crazy because when you're obviously 14, 15 and you have a dream of being in a rock band, you know, you don't really think about lawyers and getting out of contracts and people stealing all your money and all that. And it wasn't just us. It was merch companies and photographers and, you know, friends of ours that were on part of the crew. The producer on the second album, Duncan, he still hasn't been paid. Like, it's crazy. So, you know, there was a lot of people involved. Sorry, I just got sidetracked again. Every time I talk about that guy,
it's fine. Moving on.
It's nice to see that, like, you know, you're obviously so excited about getting to that next step of the band now. I mean, the new singles have been sounding so good, like, there's bits were so heavy.
Big, huge.
You could really see the evolution of the band on this record.
Yeah, like, a lot of people have said it is heavier than before, which it definitely is, and that was something that we wanted to show. We wanted to show that side because we kind of haven't been able to before. And as well, after everything that happened and growing from that, and our outlook on life and everything has changed, and there is anger in this album because it's directed at, you know, the X label and management. This is the album back from them. So it's kind of been a catharsis for us. It's kind of like helped us get over it, and kind of this is like putting it to bed, and it's like, it's over now. We're going to go and do our thing. We're going to show you what we can do, basically. But I think, yeah, but the Hana, you know, it is, we didn't want it to be so heavy that it's then disjointed from our other stuff, because again, we don't want to just want to do one thing. We want to be able to do all different styles and anything that just feels right to us. So we don't kind of want to have a hole if we can help it.
Yeah. Well, I have to commend you all on your outlook, really, because I know loads of bands who, like, shit like that has happened to, who have just been like, oh, fuck it then. And just, you know, given up or split up or gone solo and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, congratulations. Yeah, thanks. Awesome that you've stuck together. And, yeah, super excited for the new record.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It definitely was there was definitely times where you're kind of sitting there and we weren't allowed to release music for 6 months. And it was like, we don't know what's happening because we're still tied to it. But he was kind of hiding and no one could get hold of him and we didn't know what was going to happen. So it was like, you have moments of like, you know, what am I going to do if this doesn't happen again? Or, you know, what should we reevaluate this and where we're at? But the main thing again that kept us going was we've all grown up together and we all pick ourselves back up together. And we told the fans straight away when it was happening, we were up front and we told them what had happened and to bear with us, and you know, they repaid us in so much support and they're still here today. So fans are such a huge part of this band. Like, it's not just a band, it's a family. We've said it so many times before. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad they've stuck with you. Let's get away from the misery. Let's talk about the new record. Yeah.
Well,
misery gets with it. Some more misery.
No. I was going to say, if you want to flip it completely from misery into positive energy, the man with the most positive energy ever, John Feldman, produced your record.
Yeah.
We've had so many stories on here in the past with bands working with him and just kind of the crazy antics and methods and stuff he uses in the studio. What was that experience like?
It was, honestly, it was the best experience ever. Like, especially again, after all that situation, time to being like, what's going on here? Where are we going to go? Can we do this? Can we do that? To then slipping it and going out to America, to LA, to Feldy's place to record with him. And then, you know, he's bringing in people like Pete Wentz and Travis Barker and Josh Dunn from 21 Pilots. And it was just like such a roller coaster. It was like one emotion to the next. But I think that really kind of saved us a little bit. I think it was just what we needed. I think we needed to get away and be with someone like Feldy. He's got such a contagious energy and just such a positive one. He never stops. He's just always on the go. Probably because he drinks so much coffee during the day. It is insane. Coffee and donuts.
That's about the fifth time we've heard that on this podcast. He loves coffee.
He is.
How did that come about? How did you come to work with him?
We signed with a new management over here after we got out of all that shit. And then we're signed to 300 in New York. And we have been from the beginning and they're amazing. And they wanted us to go out and write for 2 weeks, write some songs for the new record over there. Because as well, we'd only ever made music in England. We'd not been to the States before. And it's like, it's a total other game. It's insane, the talent out there and obviously all the artists out there. So they hooked us up with 2 weeks of writing with different people and it was great. And then Feldy was the last 2 days. The first session we went and we were pretty hungover and we went in and we were in the Uber just like kind of dead, like, oh God. And then we pulled up to these gates in Calabasas and obviously it's a gated community. And then we're like going through and we're like looking at houses. We're like, holy shit, like, where are we? What's going on? And we're like right up in the hills and we meet him. He was amazing. We did 3 songs in 1 day in the first day. I want to know the song that's the last song that just came out. We wrote in 20 minutes. It's one of our favorites that we've ever written for sure.
It's catchy.
very catchy, which is what we like. So
yeah, oh yeah.
So yeah, it was just crazy. It was basically through 300, and then just from the first day, I think all of our energies in the room just connected. It's like we're crazy. He's crazy. We're crazy together. We love each other. I couldn't imagine not knowing John Feldman now. Like he's really. And I think the thing was, after the first day, we were like, do you want to do the record? And he was like, absolutely, I'll do it. So I think he just really, you know, when you just meet someone and someone just understands and gets what you want to do and where you want to go and kind of really brings stuff out of you. He's definitely taught us more about what we can do and our abilities. So it feels like almost fate that Feldy stepped in and brought us up, basically.
That's awesome. Can you tell us about the first time like one of those rock superstars turned up? Were they announced? That's what I want to know. I want to know, does John Feldman say, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Wentz? Or does he just go, oh, I got somebody coming out, and then all of a sudden, Trav is there?
It was exactly that. Like the first person was Josh Dunn from 21 Pilots.
Great start.
yeah. And we just turned up to the studio and we were writing the song, and then he was like, oh, Josh Dunn's gonna come down, and we were like, okay, cool. So then he came, and he was such a nice guy, incredible at drums, obviously. And we wrote a song together. It was amazing, Dark Times. And then I don't think it was the next day or the day after, we were in the Uber on the way to the session, and just before we got there, I was like, hang on, I need to just prep myself. I'm going to ask Feldy if someone's coming in, because I can't have another just walk in on me. Like, it's too much. So I was like, Feldy, is anyone in the session today? Or is it just us? And he was like, oh yeah, Pete Wentz. And I was just like, okay. Okay. I was like, I'm glad I asked. So then I'm just in the Uber to Dan. I'm just like, dude, Pete Wentz is coming today. Pete Wentz is coming today. Cause I started off playing bass, and I used to have his bass. I've seen them so many times.
Oh, wow.
Like Fall Out Boy, yeah. one of my favorite bands growing up. So that was, yeah, so weird. And then I remember being in the studio, and he hadn't turned up yet. And I kind of, we got into the song, and I kind of almost forgot. And then the door opened, and I thought it was Dan coming in from having a cigarette. And I was going to ask him something about the song. And I was like, oh, da, da, da. And I kind of looked up, and it was just Pete Wentz in front of me. And I was just like, kind of didn't say anything. I was just kind of looking at him, like taking him in, like, okay, this is Pete Wentz right now. Because I haven't seen him, like, you know, never that close up. It was so trippy.
Oh,
Peter.
Yeah. Hello, Peter.
Peter.
I've been waiting for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, did you write with Pete then?
Yeah, we wrote with Pete as well. Yeah. The song on the record is called 1 Second Left with Pete. And then, yeah, obviously Feldy and Travis, best friends.
It's not called 1 Second Left with Pete, though, is it? No. It's just 1 second.
Just 1 second left.
Right, I'll write that out. Yeah. Yeah, 1 second left with Pete.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't let me put that on the album.
Yeah. So yeah, you mentioned Travis then.
Wild.
Does he turn? Yeah. How does your drummer feel? Like this is instantly what I think is. Your drummer sitting here now, just in the thing, going, oh, good take today, good day. What a good day. Nice one, John. What are we doing next? Another coffee, is it? All right, cool. Oh, wait, it is. Tattoo drum maniac Travis Barker's walked in. And then 2 and 2 clicks, and he's like, oh, I'm not playing on this, am I? Like, how does that come about?
Weird, the track that Travis jumped on was the... I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was the last song that we finished for the album. So we kind of did everything else. We had like 20 songs that were potentials on the album. So it was hard to whittle it down anyway. And Jack had done all the drums for everything else. And then obviously if Travis Barker says that he wants to drum on a track, you know, that's huge. And you'd be silly to turn that down.
Yeah, 100%.
Travis is one of Jack's biggest icons, obviously, as a drummer, he is to everyone. So it was more just excited that he's, you know, because he's such a big name as well, that he is willing to put his name to our new record is a huge thing for us. So yeah, we just saw it as a positive. And he'll get to play it live. So.
That's true. Yeah.
I just like the idea of Jack just turning around and going, "Ah, oh, for fuck's sake, only the best drummer of all time's turned up."
He is insane to watch. It's crazy because when we were out there, Feldy took us to a Blink show, and it was the first time we'd ever seen them. But it's like, I mean, obviously, I knew he was amazing, but when you see him like in the flesh, oh, yeah. It's like, oh my God, he's like, it's just incredible.
Yeah,
so much character. It's incredible.
Amazing. So it sounds like it's just a hell of an experience in the studio. But mentioning working with different people as well, I've seen online that there was loads of rumours that you were actually supposed to go and do a writing session with Gerard and Ray from My Chemical Romance. Can you kind of clear that up a bit? Is there any updates on it? I mean, what happened there?
Again, another huge one for me. I had the MCR bags, I had the MCR calendars, I had everything. Gerard Way was my guy. I've seen them so many times growing up. So 300s came with us for that and said that they've heard our stuff and they're fans. They like our music, which was amazing. We were like, cool. And then they said they want to do a session with you guys. And we were like, of course, 100%, we're in. Sort it out. Let's do it.
No, not doing it. Not interested. Yeah,
nah.
Three cheers for that. Get out of here. brilliant. Yeah.
But yeah, and then I think it's kind of gone round. I know that when that was happening, we got an email saying that because of the whole Umbrella Academy thing was kicking off with Netflix, that obviously Gerard was super busy. And then we did the album and it kind of didn't happen, but there was always times for the future. And then a few months ago, actually, Alison from 300 said to us again about Ray saying that he wanted to write still. So we've been writing at home during COVID and trying to get some bits together and send it to Feldy, and then probably, you know, send it to Ray and them and see what they think and see if they want to maybe get involved with that or another way. But I mean, if we could be over in America with Feldy, I'm pretty sure that if we were there with him, we'd be able to sort out a day to come by. But obviously with the situation, it's pretty tough. It's not the greatest writing music over a Zoom call.
No.
Not much of a, well, I mean, you can still do it and create great music, but you know, If I write with Ray or Gerard from MCR, I want to be in the room. You know, I want to.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, hopefully, I'm pretty sure that it will happen at some point in the future. I'm hoping anyway, because that would be another massive trip for me. It's been the most wild ride, and then this all this COVID stuff. It's just bonkers.
But what I take from it, How I see it, like looking from the outside in, is you got to a point where most bands would have been fucking fed up of having the piss taken out of them and would have just fucking knocked it on the head there. But you've stuck to it, and all the best things
have come in
since and are to come.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is fucking brilliant. Yeah, it's awesome. I commend you for it, because I know a lot of people would have just fucking knocked it on the head and just gone, oh, fuck this, I can't do this. But it's awesome. I fucking chuffed for you.
I'm off the moon. Thank you, man. Thank you. Man, we got to meet up when all this shit's over.
We do one of these in the flesh.
Yeah, cool.
We'll do a flesh podcast.
Ooh, that don't sound too good.
Yeah, that sounds dreadful.
But on some level as well, I mean, like, your kid inside must just be freaking out that even all these, your favourite bands as a child, all know your music or know who you are, have all listened to art you've created. I mean, having a moment to think about that must just be like a weird trip.
I mean, at the time it was trippy, and then you kind of, again, you were so focused on the album. And then when we came home, I think as well, because of all the COVID stuff, we've had the most time off that we've had in the last like 7 years or something. So I think it's like these moments where you kind of can't do what you're normally doing, and your mind kind of reflects and you're like, holy shit. Like, actually, the other day on Instagram, a year came up, and it was the day, it was a picture of us with Pete Wentz and Feldy at his house. And it was a year ago that day that we wrote the song. And I was like, a year ago. Like, what? It feels like I was there a few months ago. So it's crazy how time flies. And then seeing that, it was just like, again, I was just like, holy shit. Like, yeah, like I never thought at the beginning that, you know, I'd be making music with all these idols of mine and people that influence me. And I think the music that we're making and for the kind of scene right now and how it's kind of come back around, it's kind of the perfect timing, you know, Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance, Blink-182, all that era is kind of coming back. Yeah, we're just going to take it all in our stride. And as you said, hopefully a lot more madness to come.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when we can tour again, which one of those bands are going to take you out first.
Yeah. I mean, it's come on.
It's a race, yeah. Highest bidders, Blink-182. Oh, imagine that. Bidding war. Like, oh, I'd love that. Oh. Imagine all... Oh. I'm partly jealous as well, so, But... Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, what other plans have you got now up until release? Is there any cool things happening?
Yeah, we're in the studio now, and then, I mean, the album comes out in October, so we're sorting out lots of performances. So, yeah, we'll be sorting out ways for us to perform and be with fans to promote the album. We're shooting the video for the last single before the album comes out, which is going to be dope. Very excited for that. I mean, that's pretty much it, really. I mean, the video is a big thing, and then just finding ways to connect with as many people as possible and tell them about the album. And then, yeah, album will be out, and we'll see what happens. And then we've got a lot of music in the Hunter Bank. We like to call it the Hunter Bank. So yeah, it's definitely not going to be like the album's out and then there's kind of nothing until we tour. We've got a lot of ammo, so
yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean Hunter Mania is coming.
Oh, that, please make that a t-shirt. That needs to be a t-shirt.
It does. We should do merch
with Hunter Mania runs wild on you on the back. Oh, mega Hulk Hogan based Hunter t-shirt.
Just your face, but just impose the mustache.
Oh, it gets better.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to have to take 30% of all those merchandise now. I'm sorry about that, but we have come up with a great t-shirt.
Oh, if your first show back isn't coming on to an intro of you pretending to be Hulk Hogan.
I can make a good Hulk, I think. I guess I've got the hair and I could do it. Anyway.
Yeah, can you rip a t-shirt from the neck? That's the question. Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, man, of course. It's been a blast.
But on this podcast as well, I mean, we've found out that a lot of listeners really love to find out what band members or guests and stuff are up to, like, on their day-to-day life. I mean, what things away from music in particular that inspire you or keep you going or just get your mind off of the dauntingness of tours, writing music and being stuck in that world all the time? Is there anything for you that comes to mind that really helps you maybe de-stress or take a break?
Yeah, for a long time now, I've found that working out is actually a really good one for me. Yeah, when I work out, I just kind of don't really think about anything else. And I feel that helps me for sure. We're all massive movie heads. So recently, we actually created a thing called the Cinema Club. And yeah, we vote. Well, we did the first vote a few weeks ago, 2 films a night. You go through the genres, you write. So yeah, we're big on that.
What have you gone through so far?
So we did the first one last week. We got 2 films, but we started them late, so we only did one. But it was Secret Window with Johnny Depp in. It's a Stephen King novel, but yeah, it's dope. You should watch it. Really good. It's like a psychological thriller. It's dope. And then the next one we've got to watch is The Invisible Man, because that got picked out on the. Before we were the Hunter, and we were called Alaska Campus, we we wrote an EP, and I think three of the songs, or all of the songs maybe, were from characters' perspectives in films that we loved. So one of the films was 500 Days of Summer. One of them was Cemetery Junction. We did one about Blow, the film with Johnny Depp, which that film, that's one of our favorites. So, I mean, yeah, we're big on movies, and we have found influence from movies before. What else? I mean, oh, and, you know, still a little bit of, I can't beat a little bit of FIFA on PlayStation.
Oh, nice.
I actually just got this samurai game called Ghost of Tsushima, which is really good. You should check it out. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes you just need to switch off and just be a samurai for an hour.
So, sometimes you need to switch off and just go to ancient Japan and chop people to death.
Exactly. I'm like, there's like bits in it. I'm like, that you, there's like a fox, and if you find the foxes, they start to run off. And if you follow them, they take you to like these secret caves, and there's like these shrines and stuff. So that's what I'm doing.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Just following foxes, worshipping shrines.
I thought you were going to say, oh, I was in the garden the other day and I saw a fox, and I thought, oh, I'll follow that now because I've been playing the game. And I've ended up in a giant cave full of gold.
Oh. Well, that would be incredible.
Travis Barker was there as well.
Brilliant. That sounds like the ultimate gaming tagline for every game going forward now. I mean, imagine sometimes you just need some time off and pretend you're a big blue hedgehog.
Exactly. Sometimes you do. It's just, you know, it's just not reality. So it's just, oh, like, you know, we can't release music for, you know, 6 months, and, you know, we don't know if we can sign a new deal, but hey, I can go and be a world-class legend samurai, and, you know, everyone in the villages love me and save Tsushima. And then, you know, then that's all you think about. And then after that's done, then you're back to, oh, okay, life.
You got me thinking about other games and jobs now.
But I don't condone anyone to try and escape reality through video games and get hooked. I don't want to send the wrong message here.
No, too late. I've said enough. We're keeping that in. We're cutting this bit out. We're cutting all the interview out about all the album, about everything you've done, and we're just going to go, oh, yeah, it's just a gaming to escape reality. Nothing.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Gaming and weed.
Yeah.
No,
oh,
yeah.
Go hand in hand, apparently.
They do.
Yeah, sold to me. Both sold to me. Awesome. Yeah, cool. Morgan, are you good?
Thanks, man. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers. Thank you much.
Best of luck now with the release of the record. I can't wait to hear the rest of it and see these songs live eventually.
Yes. Yeah, you guys, if you want to, if you see any shows you want to come to, just let me know. We'll sort it out. Yeah.
Well, nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. It's been lovely. Great interview. Thank you.
No, cheers. Really no worries. Well, it's hardly an interview. It's just us talking bollocks. But that's what we do.
That's how to do it.
But yeah, thank you so much for this. So yeah, see you soon, hopefully. October 2nd. Yeah. I'd Rather Die Than Let You In comes out. Everybody write that in your diaries and calendars.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Cheers, guys. Take it easy. You're listening
to Sammy Podcast! Lovely stuff.
Yeah, boy. The Hunna Sapping Podcast. Oh, I killed Sean. Fuck yeah. Look, I know that interview was that good, Sean, but you didn't have to die because of it.
Fucking hell. I wasn't expecting you to come back as fucking Bob Marley. What was that? Yeah, boy. What was that? I wasn't expecting that, but yeah, thank you. Thank you so much to Ryan Potter from The Hunna. Absolutely delightful chap. The more we got into it, the more we enjoyed his company, and some of those stories are awesome. How'd you get to work with Mike Hemmer?
I don't know.
When Jerry Way phoning me up going, oh, do you fancy doing some songs? Yeah, I do, yeah. I do, yeah.
How does that happen? It's crazy. But especially, like, I know we mentioned it a lot, but from going from all those problems they've had with their previous record label to now being able to work with, like, some of the biggest bands in the scene ever, they've literally just gone from 0 to 100 of working with Mike Hemm, Fall Out Boy, Blink-182, 21 Pilots. I mean, that's every emo kid's dream right there.
Well, yeah, completely. I think what's good about this episode is it's proof to show, and I mentioned it a few times, in the words of Invisible Man, Jonathan Cena, Never give up. Never give up. Because, yeah, most bands in their situation would have gone, fuck this shit, I'm out. And not done anything else. And then not gone to LA and worked with John Feldman and all of these people and got these chances. So fair play to the Hunter for sticking to it, battling through. You've got my utmost respect. And I cannot wait to see you play live soon.
Yeah, it's just proof that even though times can get extremely hard, that the best things are just around the corner.
Yes, yes they are. Yeah. Never give up, people. Never give up.
Yeah, and of course their new record, I'd Rather Die Than Let You In, is going to be released now on October the 2nd worldwide. So make sure to put that in your diaries. Go and grab a copy, pre-order it, buy a vinyl, stream it like mad when it comes out, all those things. And keep updated on their website as well, because they will be touring early 2021. Of course, we're still in mad lockdown pandemic times, so keep an update for all those dates at the Hunter's website.
Yeah, isn't it mad that one day we're going to get to look back at these episodes or listen back at these episodes and be like, oh yeah, that's that thing where everybody started getting really angry because they had to stay in their house and they only had the ability to watch anything that's ever been made. But yet people are still like, oh, but I'm busting to go to the pub. What for? What for? You got Zoom and you can get beer cheaper for your house. Anyway, I won't start having a go with them now because I'm kind of fed up of bullying one of my friends' fathers who's an absolute fucking idiot on Facebook.
Oh, wow. That's taking a dark turn.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing right-wing propaganda bollocks from people who haven't got a clue how the world works.
I don't think anyone's enjoying that. But just to cheer you up a little bit, Sean, at the time of recording this, I did see that the Hunter are actually looking for a new bass player.
So what are you trying to say? You're trying to get me a job, are you?
No, I would just say, if you're interested, you could submit. I might submit. I mean, maybe we could be co-bassists.
You just said, Sean, this will cheer you up. Why would it cheer me up, Morg? I'm not a bassist.
But you can learn. It's only four strings, mate. I can teach you.
Number one, it's not. It's probably one string. It's just the lowest string. That's all they use. If anyone's a bassist, tell you what, get in touch with us on Instagram and Twitter, at SaplinPod. That's at SAPPENINPOD. If you're a bassist, right, and you've ever used more than one string, get in touch with us. Let us know. Because I don't fucking believe you. And that's the end of that.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, at SaplinPod on Twitter and Instagram. And while you're at it, follow us, give us the likes on everything, send us a message. What did you think about this episode? What did you think about previous episodes? Go and check them out. And obviously, if you can do us a favour as well, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if it's on Spotify, Acast, Apple, random websites that we keep finding out that our podcast is on every few weeks, click that subscribe button, because it does help very much.
Yes, it does. Please rate where possible as well. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your gran. She won't understand what's going on. And yes, enjoy yourselves. Just quickly back to the Hunter, I'm in a bassist. If Ole Bass is on track, though, I can mime bass. So if they are looking for someone, glad you brought it up. Eventually, Morg, I will do it. I mean, do you know what? I'd just like to say on this episode 91 of Sapling Podcast, I am now the bassist of the Hunter. So don't let them know. Hopefully they listen to this and now they're like, oh, yes, Sean's in a band. So yes, I am now the bassist from the Hunter. Any bass related questions, please get in touch at Sapling Pod. The answer is lower string.
If we're talking about bands you're involved with, Sean, your main...
The Hunter?
No, your other project, your main project, Raiders Band UK, is going to be releasing something soon, apparently. I've heard some rumours.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. All I was going to say is, if I was you, go to raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. If they got a follow button on there, I don't fucking know how Bandcamp works, to be honest. Give us a follow, because September the 4th, oops, something good is coming. And it'll only be on that Bandcamp for that day.
Oh, you selling those naked calendars of you and Bob?
Shut up. Oh, and they'll have to go see when September the 4th, raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. I don't know why I'm whispering. It doesn't make a difference. We've lost our fucking minds.
I know where we can find them, though.
What?
I know where we can find our minds.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We can find them at patreon.com/sapmin. So if anyone wants to go over there and see what our brains look like after 91 episodes of this bollocks and they've melted into smithereens, then go and check it out. Become a part of our loving community. Bully us. Make memes. Have a laugh. And help us grow this podcast bigger and better than ever before.
Yes. Again, thank you very much to everybody who's already a Patreon. If you're thinking about becoming a patron, do it. Don't be a prick. And that's it.
And while we're mentioning our Patreon, of course, we've got to give a massive thank you to the elite members of our community. Those are the ones on the top tiers, and Sean is going to read out their names to you now. But as always, I imagine they've changed their names into some weird stuff.
Yes, they have. Bastards.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thank you very much to the wonderful people in this list and all of the people who are patrons, who have been patrons, who have recently left. That's cool. Thank you very much for any support. To people who have joined, thank you very much. To Johnny Phillips, you're not going to be allowed in the group. Thank you very much to Kylie, as in Blue Healer, sometimes Copper Feeler, Reformed Banana Bread Dealer, Scandalously Anila, sometimes Copper Feeler, and then I think she's run out of space. Thank you very much to Mayumi Liwaway, Sarah taking a bald-headed gnome for a stroll in a misty forest, James, Mitch Perry, Amy Chilvers, Emma Barber, Amadine Urbano, Bending Over a Barrel and Seeing Her Filthy Down Under, Dana Lasnova, Nathan Croshaw, Dilly doing squat thrusts in the cucumber patch, Grimwood, Kel Me Now, oh that's not nice, Ohio Is for Emo Chester, Tom Owen, Paul Hirschfield, Liam Connolly, Drew Styles, Kelly Irwin, Michael Engler, the Maxin Dancing Champion Campion, Katie Puttock, Scott Frotting the Bacon Jones, ew, Johnny Phillips. I sincerely apologise to my SAP fam and our glorious cultish leaders for my aggression last week. Think it was my time of the month. That was Oliver Amesbury. Simon Amos, love you, Sean Smythe. Kate Stevenson, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Erin Howard, Kelly, let's spread some blasphemy and put the devil into hell. Mallory, blasphemy equals my thighs, devil equals your dick, hell equals my vagina.
What?
These are getting too much. These are going full mad. Thank you very much to Becky Andy, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Sarah Stewart, Jason, again, here we go, Heredia, Jason Heredia, Sandra Kuacek, Nuala Clark, Mike Cunningham, Charles Pendlebury, that's his new name, Charles Pendlebury, I'm not saying your actual name now, Charles Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Kelly Emma Cannon, Stuart McNaught, Sharif Awadali, Jenny Robinson, Tony Michael, Lydia Henderson, Samuel Griffiths, ball slapping Keris Andrews to finish.
They've gone mad.
I don't know what the theme is, but it seems to be Dirty Bastards, I think.
Yeah.
I've noticed the group is getting very, very sexually charged lately. I feel a weird orgy coming on. Anyway, That was episode 91 of Sapning Podcast. We have 9 more episodes till we get to 100. We haven't got a bloody clue what we're going to do so far, I don't think. But send in your ideas. Should we do a best of? No. Should we get a couple of guests on one at a time? Should we do a long one where we do 2 hours and have like 10 minutes with each guest nipping in? That sounds like it's going to be a right bollock to organise. So probably not. Yeah, let us know at SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram. If you've got this far, fucking how? Thank you. We appreciate you greatly. Honest to God, it means the world that you'd listen to this. And we will see you next week.
Yes, we will. Everything Sean said and then some.
Yes. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.